Now this morning, I want to speak to you from Romans 5:12. The preacher has been preaching for some weeks about things of the scripture. Do you really believe that? Or one of his slogans. Romans 5:12 is a very wonderful passage. And I would like to think this morning that Romans 5:12 is one of the most important passages in all of the Bible when it comes to understanding the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ. Without an understanding of this particular verse, you'll never understand what sin is and how sin has affected the human race. So this morning, I want us to spend our time just for a moment in looking at Romans 5:12. Now, I have three questions this morning that I want to speak to you about, three questions that I'll ask, and then I will attempt to answer those questions. My first question concerning Romans 5:12, which says, "Wherefore, as by one man sin entered into the world, and death by sin, and so death passed upon all men, for all have sinned." About 40 years ago, the pastor and I were in a bookstore, and that's when we really began to get into the doctrines of grace. And we went in this bookstore, and we pulled every book they had in that store out on Romans, and we checked this verse to see if that book taught that Adam was our federal head and that we all fell in him. Some of them did. Some of them didn't even think it was even interesting enough to even bring that part out. Well, that's what we're talking about this morning. My first question is this. What happened in the garden? All heresies arise from a misunderstanding of what happened in the Garden of Eden. If we go wrong here, we go wrong everywhere. If we get this right, we will not likely fall in grave error elsewhere. We have the idea, man does today, that what happened in the garden has little or no effect upon us, that salvation is really based upon your believing upon the Lord Jesus Christ. And it's a choice, like pro-choice. It is a choice of whether or not you are going to serve the living God. But as we look at what happened in the garden, we will see that it is not up to you to whether or not you're going to serve a living God or our Lord Jesus Christ. It has been determined by your very nature that you will not serve God because you will not have the capacity to. Not only you will not have the capacity to serve God, you will have no will to serve God. Man has no inclination to come to the grace of God or to seek after the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ because he has nothing within his nature to gravitate toward God. This is what we're talking about when we're talking about what happened in the garden. When Adam fell, the entire human race fell with him. This is the teaching of the Word of God. Yes, it's true. God, in his wisdom, in the Garden of Eden, when Adam disobeyed God, his family, his prosperity, his all of those that came after him fell into a state which they could not come to God. I would like to think that the Garden of Eden before the fall was a time of innocence. But after the sin of Adam, the world fell, the nature of man fell, and there was no possibility of arising and going to the Father. Like that parable in the New Testament of the Good Shepherd, and that even to the prodigal son, where the prodigal son came to the Father. Remember in that story that he came to himself while he was yet in the hog pen. He came to himself and he said, "I will go unto my Father." For every person in this world that has come to God, there has been a time that we came to ourselves. And as our pastor has preached for some years, and even in recent times now, that we come to God because God overpowers us and comes to us and reveals Christ Jesus to our heart. Without this supernatural power, man has no knowledge, no desire to come to our Lord Jesus Christ. There was a time that we sat in churches and they gave an altar call and they would invite people to come forward and come to the front and kneel at a martyr's bench and kneel and cry and ask God to come into their heart. Well, so much so. Regardless of what we do, walking down an aisle, doing any deeds that you might think about, that will not issue you the entrance into the grace of God. God has to open the heart, as he was spoke of this morning in the message. Lydia's heart was open, and when her heart was open, she received the Spirit of God, knowledge and truth came to her, and her desires, which were dead in trespasses and sins, are now open to the grace and the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. If God leaves us alone, if God fails to awaken our hearts to the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ, dying for our sins, we will perish and go to hell. This is the teaching, I believe, in the Word of God. Our salvation this morning is of the Lord. It is that the Lord Himself saves us. He died for us, and He is the one that will awaken us out of our sleep and bring us to a saving knowledge. And that word is important. A saving knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. Man is totally ruined by the fall. And he is not, as has spoken of in this day and time, partially handicapped. You know, a person who is handicapped, we have difficulties. We have difficulties in walking. We have difficulties in getting into our cars. We have difficulties in getting into maybe a bathtub or taking care of ourselves. Those are difficulties of this life. When we talk about the grace of God, it is far beyond having a difficulty, of having an impairment to come to God. We must be redone. We must be regenerated. We must be renewed by the Spirit of God. Not through preaching is a person renewed. Not by the preaching of the gospel is a person renewed. We preach the gospel, which is the truth of God, to those who have heard from God already. Those must be enlightened before they can hear the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ. So the fall has ruined us, made it impossible for us to come before God. Romans 5:12 again, wherefore, as by one man's sin entered the world, and death by sin, and so death passed upon all men, for all have sinned. And then I'd like to bring up 1 Corinthians 15:21 and 22. For since by man came death, by man came also the resurrection of death. For as in Adam all die, even so Christ shall make all made alive. Our hope this morning, our hope of eternal life, is based on what God will do for us, not what we might do for ourselves. That means that all of the sons and daughters of Adam are spiritually dead, and they have no ability to come unto God. All of our transgressions from the wombs, as Isaiah 48:8, no mother ever had to teach a child how to lie, to cheat, or deceive. This is something that is built in to every child when he comes into this world. Why is that? It's because of the nature that we share with Adam. Because man is born spiritually dead and depraved, he cannot see, much less enter, the kingdom of God unless he is born again. Romans and John chapter 3. Repentance and faith are gifts of God's grace, brought to the heart of the chosen and redeemed sinners of God by the Holy Spirit. In Ephesians 1 and verse 19, salvation cannot be of the will of man because he is dead. Salvation is of the will of God. Romans 9 verse 16. Salvation, again, is of the Lord. It is a working of the Lord. It is a preparation of the Lord. And it is the instillment of our Lord Jesus Christ. Now, my second question is this. What happened on the cross? What happened in the garden? And now, what happened on the cross? That's the second question. Did our Lord Jesus Christ, by a substitutional sacrifice and atonement, make redemption possible? Or did it actually accomplish the redemption on the cross? This is a question that is relevant in this day and time. There's never been a time in my life that is not more relevant today. 50 years ago, I heard this preached, and I thought it was relevant in that day. But when you think that 50 years now has passed, and men are no more educated today in the things of God than they were 50 years ago, man's heart is just as dead as it was then. We still need the enlightenment of Almighty God, lest we perish. We find in Galatians 3 and verse 13, the Bible says, Christ has redeemed us. He has obtained eternal redemption for the elect. He did not just make it possible for sin to be put away, but he actually put it away. All that we do here in this place, all that Christ has done, is determined by what he did upon the cross. If Christ's death is not effectual to our life, then we are out of hope this afternoon for eternal life. What Christ did on the cross is the determining factor of, may I say it this way, it determines who goes to heaven. If Christ died for you on Calvary, then you go to heaven. If Christ did not die for you on Calvary's cross, then you do not go to heaven. The general impression of this day and time is that Christ has died. All men have an opportunity to go to heaven. And most people believe that everyone will go. There was a famous athlete who died recently. And it was said yesterday that he was a good man and that we should pray for him. Pray for him. When we leave this life, no prayers, no candles will ever help us in influencing God to whether or not we will be welcome into the gates of heaven. Our salvation was based upon the eternity of God before the foundation of the world and secured by the death of our Lord Jesus Christ upon the cross. And there's nothing more than that. And this verse brings that out this afternoon. There is a song that we sang, and we don't sing it this way. We do not sing, redeemed because I believe it. But we do sing this song, and it goes like this. Redeemed, how I love to proclaim it. Redeemed by the blood of the Lamb. redeem through his infinite mercy his child and forever I am. It's not whether I believe it or not. The security of our salvation is determined by the Redeemer. I am redeemed, yes, but I am redeemed by the Redeemer. If we have the Redeemer, then we have life, and we have it more abundantly. Now, my third question this afternoon is this. How is salvation accomplished? How is salvation accomplished? What happened when God saves a sinner? Is salvation accomplished by the will of man or by the will of God? John 1:13 says, not of the will of man, but of God. Not by the will of man, but of God. I remember a few years ago, 40 I guess, there was this family that came to the church, and they said to me, we're retired now, and we've decided to get in church. We're 65, and it's time for us to get in church. Because, you see, as their retirement programs, they had worked, they had their Social Security, and they have their pension, and they may even had a burial plan. And this is one thing that they still lacked. They lacked a church. They lacked a church home. They had to go to a church and prepare and do what I would call penance in order that to finish out their life. These people were very sincere when they told me this. It is time for us to go to church. We might have a will like that. We may have a desire to do that. But like this particular couple, their desire didn't last very long. They came a few services, but then they stopped coming after that. Their desire immediately was to find a church and to get right with God, because they thought their time was close and that's something they need to do before they die. Best intentions in this world is wonderful. And you might think of your children sometimes, and your children come to you and they might say, Daddy, I've decided not to do those things anymore. Or I've decided that I'm not going to run with that particular crowd of kids anymore. And I've decided that I'm not going to be involved in that social activity that you know that I've done before. I'm not going to do that anymore. Well, that makes a father happy. That makes a mother happy too. But most likely, your will and your desire today will not be matched by future desire and will. Because of outside influence of other kids, that child will probably be pulled back into the same old circle that you have been watching him to be in for so long. So much it is in the nature of man. We may have a desire temporarily to go to church. We may have a desire to come and hear the gospel. And so many people do. They come and they say, I just want to hear the gospel. That's all I want. Just want to hear the gospel. Well, they hear the gospel a couple times and they go away. Why is that? Because it was their temporary choice. But the choice that God makes for his people is a permanent one. It's one that will continue on throughout your life, because God is going to do something that you will never be able to do. He'll do something for you that you can accomplish for your children. You can take your children and you can move to a better neighborhood. You can put them into a better school. You can get them involved in sports, and you can do this for them. You can do that for them. But the outcome generally goes right back to where you started from from the beginning. But when it comes to the child of God, the person who God comes down and speaks life into, like he did Lydia's heart, that is a work that's permanent and true and lasts throughout that life and throughout eternity. We're talking about eternal security. We're talking about something that will not fall apart or dissipate because of the trials and the tribulations in this life. The fact is, the trials and the tribulations of this life will make our faith even stronger instead of weaker. This morning, the work of God brings to the heart of the person, he brings, first of all, regeneration. He makes that person alive in the Lord Jesus Christ. He awakens him from a dark and gloomy sleep. And then God resurrects that person to a person, a corpse, spiritual corpse, and makes him alive unto God, gives him an ear to hear, a heart to believe, and to trust in something far greater than he is. And then God brings forth in that person a new creation. Where that person was a man of this world, he makes that person a man of God. He instills into his soul and he unites with that person. And that's the difference between what we do for ourselves and the self-help books and the gurus that we have in this world. They are trying to influence people to follow God. Regeneration and salvation is something that does not influence us, it renews us from within. And then lastly, Christ is in us. The work of God permeates all of our consciousness. It permeates all of our will. Our minds and hearts are turned toward God. And how is it that we will be successful in this venture that God has come upon us? Because it is not up to us. It's not up to us to will and to do and to act and to perform this faith that is in God. Because our faith is Christ living within us. God would not trust us to live alone and to trust him. He lives within us and acts through us. And then, one more thing, and I'm going to let you go. We become partakers of a divine nature. We become partakers. We become Christ within us. We become a disciple of our Lord Jesus Christ. We don't just take upon a form of godliness. Godliness has overtaken us, and we now have become a partaker of a divine nature, which is all opposite of what is taught and preached in this day and time. I pray that as we continue to study, and as our pastor continues to preach to us, that our hearts will be enlightened more and more to the understanding of the graciousness and the mercy that is brought to us through our Lord Jesus Christ.